I think it's important for us to see that the friends that we pick, we're never going to be stronger than the weakest person who's our closest friend. In other words, the weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. And some of you over the years have had friendships and you look back and say, you know, that friendship was not good for me. That friendship brought me down. That friendship wasn't something that built me up and allowed me to grow. It was became the weakest point of my life.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach and your advocate for the family. Today, Randy begins his teaching, How to Love an Emotionally Weak Person. Now, from the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your relationships, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. I'm looking forward to it. This is a very powerful, very sensitive topic, how to love an emotionally weak person. We're going to get started here in just a moment, and we'll go through some of the signs and symptoms that you should watch for to determine if the person that you love, care for, really is fragile, sensitive, or what I call emotionally weak. And as you heard me say in that opening statement, you'll hear it again in the content today, that the weakest person in any relationship tends to control that relationship. That's true in groups at work. It's true in families, and it's certainly true in marriages and intimate relationships. And so we're going to begin this series humbly today with an open heart that it'll be very encouraging to someone. Maybe you love someone who's emotionally weak, or maybe you know that you are, and maybe through this process we'll understand a little more about how you affect those around you that care for you so deeply. Just before we take you over to the teaching studio, however, I want to remind you that the marriage relationship we consider to be central and significant and important. We want you in your marriage today to be successful, to really experience all that God has for you. And our Fall Intentional Love Marriage Conference series will begin in October in Michigan, and then in New Mexico in Albuquerque, and then in Arizona, both Phoenix and Tucson. And tickets are available today for this Intentional Love Marriage Conference date night. It's going to be a lot of fun, very practical, so get your tickets, okay? Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on events. All right, to the teaching studio and the topic for today. I picked the topic that we probably all can relate to at one level or another, and it's really a statement of how to, you know, the how to love an emotionally weak person. Now you think about that for a moment. What is an emotionally weak person? All of us are emotionally weak people, right? So we all have to raise our hands and say, you know, I'm guilty of being an emotionally weak person. But what's the difference between an emotional normalcy and how's that compared to a person who's abnormal with their emotions, if that makes sense? Because we all get angry, don't we? And the scripture says, be angry and do not sin. So having anger is a normal response to life. God's wired us to have an emotional response. Sometimes it's anger. It's what we do with that anger that either becomes normal or abnormal in our relationships. We all have fear. You know, you see a rattlesnake, you get fearful. Fear and an emotional response, that's sort of normal in life. But it's what we do with fear then becomes either a normal or abnormal response in life. And this is true of anxiety, jealousy, and all the emotions that God gives us in our lives. So there's a distinction between what's normal and abnormal. As we talk today about helping or loving an emotionally weak person, I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. You know, I have emotional weakness. Donna sees it, lives with it. If I get fearful or if I feel like I'm not in control, or, you know, I can go into moods and different things. But when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? Where does this come from anyway? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from? Well, we know that there's the past. Some people have experiences from their past, maybe from a previous marriage relationship. Maybe they've learned as a child not to be able to trust. And there's been experiences, and as a counselor over the years, when I've had an opportunity to talk to people, you know, we'll explore their childhood experiences and look at where they've come from and
birth order and all these different kinds of things to try to understand why would a person be wrestling with their emotions. Well, there's also the fact of personality. Some people just seem to be wired in such a way that they're more emotionally sensitive, right? It's part of their personality. Maybe they're a pleaser, or some of the other terms that we use where they're kind of set themselves up to be vulnerable, to be more emotionally weak than others. And then, of course, as we mentioned, there can be the experiences that people have had in the past. The question I think we need to ask ourselves as we get into this lesson this month is, how do you know, either for yourself or for the person that you love, a friend or a person in your family, if they're emotionally weak or not? How do you know that? Well, I think a few things you could kind of consider. One is, an emotionally weak person, when you're around them, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. There's that sense of, if I say something or if I do something or if I respond in a certain way, I'm walking on eggshells and they could crack. And so there's a sense of carefulness, being careful around this person. It could be that there's an overreaction to normal life situations. That's what I often will do when I'm feeling fearful or anxious. I'll overreact to little things. And Donna can tell you that. I'll overreact to them. And we all have these kinds of things, right? Another way you can see if a person is struggling with their emotions is, you know, when they're calling you on the phone and you see the caller ID and you see the name of the person calling you, maybe you hesitate before you answer the phone because you know you're going to get into a conversation or you're going to get into something where you know it's just not going to go anywhere. There's not a solution to the problem. They're just emotionally weak and they're just going to download on you, and nobody's better off at the end of the conversation than at the beginning of the conversation. No one's stronger. No one's closer to the Lord. It just drains you when you're around that kind of a person. So you know that person is an emotionally weak person. Or you find yourself around a person that the same topic keeps coming up over and over and over and over, and there's never any resolution. There's not a sense of progress. There's not a sense of resolution to an issue. It's just the same issue. They just have latched on to you because they know you'll listen. And they get it off their chest. They feel better. They took their stuff and dumped it into your lap and then drove away, you know. Or you find yourself avoiding these people. You know you're dealing with an emotionally weak person when you find yourself not wanting to be with them. There's gatherings, or you're careful how you make your schedule so you're not going to necessarily be hooked up with that person. So those are some of the things that we look at in terms of how do we know if we're dealing with a person who's emotionally weak. Now, we teach at Intentional Living about getting mad enough, right? We say get mad enough to change, get mad enough to honor Christ, get mad enough to say, I don't want to be this way anymore. And one of the problems that people have when they're emotionally weak is that they don't follow that little formula that we use, MAD, mindset of Christ, right? Because our emotions are driven by our mindset, what we tell ourselves. That's why the scripture tells us whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy to think on such things. For the letter A, they don't have an attitude of confidence in Christ, because many people who are emotionally weak are not confident in who they are in Christ. They don't know who they are. So there's a sense of responding out of this emotionality. And then for the letter D, making the right decisions for life and establishing the right habits.
Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue How to Love an Emotionally Weak Person. Today, for your generous gift of any amount, we'll send to you, with our thanks, a brand new 16-month calendar for 2018, You Belong Here, which you'll find both inspiring and beautiful. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-1717, and press number 4. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will continue his teaching right after this.
Doing one thing today could mean a stronger, more intentional marriage in Christ.
We're already seeing a difference in our marriage. I feel that we're much more connected, more learning to blend together rather than try to get the other person to see our way of thinking.
Make a commitment today to join Dr. Randy Carlson for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference coming this fall to Michigan, New Mexico, and Arizona. Register now at TheIntentionalLife.com.
you have friends that complain all the time?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
They wear you out, don't they? Maybe you've even started avoiding them. Don't feel guilty. Balanced friendships have room for both people. Unhealthy ones are one-sided. The strange thing is, you might have been really attracted to this person in the beginning because you could see how much they really needed you. Now that you've been in the relationship for a while, you see that nothing ever changes. It's almost like this person wants to stay unhappy. Maybe you screen their calls and make excuses for not seeing them, and then you feel guilty. Don't. Choosing and creating balanced relationships is one of the greatest things you can do for your health. For Intentional Living, this is Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back with Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching, How to Love an Emotionally Weak Person.
One of the problems that people have when they're emotionally weak is that they don't follow that little formula that we use, MAD, mindset of Christ, right? For the letter A, they don't have an attitude of confidence in Christ. And then for the letter D, making the right decisions for life and establishing the right habits. Now, I have a thesis that I want to share with you this month. This is for all of our donors, for all of our members of the Intentional Living family, and for the staff, something that I believe. And I've seen over years of counseling and working with people, and frankly, I've seen it in myself, and here it is. The weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. Let me say that again. The weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. Now, when you have friendships, you can kind of deal with those. You can put, you know, some boundaries in place and barriers, or maybe separate as a friend and go in another direction. But when it's someone that you're close to in your family, see? Because we focus on family. What is it when you have an emotionally weak person that's your parent or your sibling or your spouse or yourself, see? And you can't get away from that. It's part of the relationship that you have. And the weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. Let me give you an example of that. Think of the phrases that we use. We use phrases like, they're the weakest link, right? And you think about a chain, and you get a chain, and you have one weak link. What happens when you put pressure on it? It breaks. It pulls apart. So that chain is no stronger than its weakest link. And we've heard it said, you know, the slowest member of the pack controls the speed, right? Whatever the pack is moving, they got to always bring it down to the slowest member of that pack. And so it is in relationships that the weakest person controls the quality of the relationship. I think that's a really important thing to mark in your mind and to write down in terms of your relationship. That it's not the strongest person, it's the weakest person. And one of the, let me just share this before I get into seven or eight points I want to share about how do you love a person who's emotionally weak. I think it's important for us to see that the friends that we pick, we're never going to be stronger than the weakest person who's our closest friend. Does that make sense? In other words, the weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. And some of you over the years have had friendships and you look back and say, you know, that friendship was not good for me. That friendship brought me down. That friendship wasn't something that built me up and allowed me to grow. It was became the weakest point of my life. It's important to teach our kids and grandkids when they're thinking about getting married and the friends that they're picking. If you want to teach them something, teach them the weakest person in the relationship is going to control your relationship. And so it's important to understand this thing of emotional weakness in terms of picking relationships and friendships and so on. Now, here's a key verse for us. It's a verse right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we know it's a love chapter, right? It talks about love is what? Patient and kind and so on. In fact, that is the verse for this month. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, the first part of that verse, love suffers long. And I like that version because when we're talking about dealing with an emotionally weak person, you might feel like you're suffering long, right? It's just suffering long. And the scripture says, love suffers long and is kind. And Don and I have been going through a study in our small group on the fruit of the Spirit. And it's an interesting book as we talk about these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, which is one thing. It's not fruits of the Spirit. It's one fruit all flowing through love, right? And the author of the book, Love on the Vine, which is the book that we're studying, Philip Kennison, talks about kindness, because in this verse it says, if we're going to be loving, we're going to suffer long, we're going to have to be patient, right, in relationships, and be kind. And he makes an interesting statement here. He says, just as Paul wrote to the Corinthians that love is patient or long-suffering, so he acknowledges that love is also kind. I think it's important when we think about relationship with people who are emotionally weak, it's not only that we love them, but we have to be kind. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And then he goes on to say that kindness is a particular manifestation of love's other-directedness. Kindness seems to manifest itself as a certain way of being helpful to those who need help. Such helpfulness stems, first of all, from God's helpfulness, of which the Christian is immediately mindful. That is, Christians are moved by the Spirit to reach out and help others because their own identity is intimately tied to the help that they have received at God's hand. Our identity is tied into the kindness of God to us. See, that's part of the characteristic of God. He's kind toward us. You talk about God having a bunch of emotionally weak things he has to deal with. That's you and me.
Oh, boy, is that true? We're live back here in our Intentional Living studio, and we certainly are weak links in the chain, but God's intentional love shows through, and without it, we would be in big trouble, for sure. I hope you're finding today's message practical. We'll continue more with tips on how to love an emotionally weak person. And I just want to remind you, as you listen to the program today, this didn't just magically appear. Not only is all the work that we put into the program and creating content and the production pieces and all the things that go on behind the scenes, it's because of men and women and at times businesses that step up and say, you can count on me. We're going to help support the listener-supported ministry of Intentional Living. And we can't do it without your help. And we're wrapping up this month. We're right here at the end of August. And I want you to know that your support is essential, is important, it's critical. And I would ask you to help us wrap up this month strong. And, of course, this special calendar gift is coming to an end here in just this week, so I hope you'll respond. I want to thank Barbara. Thank you from Redding, California, for stepping up and being a part of this. And MC Clearwater LLC from Phoenix, thank you for stepping up and becoming a monthly member. It's because of your support we can do this. Join us. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
The funny thing about life is, the more you share, the more you have. Your support for Intentional Living gives hope away to thousands of people God is speaking to through this radio ministry. So for your special gift today, we'd like you to have our new 16-month calendar for 2018. You can start using it this year and enjoy 16 months worth of beautiful photos and scripture, reminding you, you belong here. Please go to theintentionallife.com to make your special gift today. And we'll send you the 2018 16-month calendar. That's theintentionallife.com. And thanks for giving.
Well, I've been a Christian since I was 5 years old. And I met a dear friend about 3 years ago through work. Did not know Jesus. And I know God brought me into her life, and she did accept the Lord on Easter Sunday 2 years ago, and I just thank God for that. She's going through some extremely severe emotional therapy that her counselor says is going to be 10 years. I have been really struggling because whenever I'm with her, it's extremely draining.
I think the primary characteristic in my best friend is that he consistently and constantly is pointing me to Christ. He's always encouraging me to walk with Christ. And I think that is the primary characteristic in friendships that we should have.
Yeah, those are very powerful statements. We could build off of each, because each points to the reality that friendships make us or break us. They're important, they're valuable, but we need to make sure that we know how we're addressing some of the issues that can come up in friendships. After our teaching, we always open the mic, pass it around to staff and visitors with questions and comments. Well, we have that going right now. I want to share a little bit with you as we go back into the teaching studio.
What is the relationship between being emotionally weak and low self-esteem?
I think they are connected. And many times, people who don't feel good about themselves, they don't feel like they measure up, they don't feel like they're adequate, will also be emotionally weak. But it doesn't always show up with anger. Sometimes it can show up in shyness. It can show up in pleasing, you know, overly pleasing. So their reaction to everything is, you're right and I'm wrong, and they deny themselves, even having an opinion. And then what happens is it builds up like Mount St. Helens in some people, and then it will blow when they're with the people that they feel comfortable. And sometimes that's why kids or spouses will get the emotional explosion that others never see. Man, I never saw that person like that. How could that person be like that? Well, it's because they buried it instead of being confident in Christ and who they are. They let it build up until they can't. It's like emotional ooze, and then it blows out. And so there is a correlation. That's why I was saying personality, temperament, these are different things that can affect us. Now, you can have the other extreme. You can have some people who are so emotionally blocked, that's a whole other extreme, that they appear to be just like a rock. You know, you can't break through at all. And that's not healthy either. That's the other extreme. We're talking about extremes here. Does that help? No? Okay. Any other? Yes.
How do you show the love of Christ to someone who that emotional weakness comes out in a, it almost feels evil, vindictive. It almost seems like as careful as you are with your approach, it is never received well.
Well, I think a couple things. One is depending on the nature of the relationship. If we're around a person that's evil and negative and critical and they're a friend or whatever, there's a point where not all friends are good for you. You need to just cut it off and separate. And that leads all the way to, well, I've got a relationship with this person. I've got to deal with this person. And then you got to have some boundaries in place. There's a principle I learned a long time ago that hurt people hurt people. And people who are hurting inside, they got their own stuff, they tend to lash out and they want to hurt other people. It may be unconscious to them. It may come to you because they feel it's a pattern with you. It may not be with other people that they do that. Again, feeling if it's safe or not, but it's okay if it's a safe relationship to say, you know, that's not okay. You know, it's just not okay. When this kind of conversation goes on, that's not the kind of conversation I'm going to be a part of. And if it continues, you've got time and I'll talk later, but I'm not going to be a part of this. Now, sometimes that's not safe, depending on the nature of the relationship. But it's okay for Christians to draw lines in the sand and say, we're not going to cross this point of abusive kind of behavior. And of course, we know there's a spiritual component to all this, too. And ultimately, you know, going back to what I talked about, praying that God will move in the life of that person and give you strength as you interact with them. But boundaries are important. The reality is there are some relationships you're never going to go deeper than about one, okay? And it's painful. You know, when you think about it, from the very beginning, from a biblical perspective, there was perfect relationship in the garden, right? Between God and man and between Adam and Eve. And then there was deceit and there was sin. And instantly, there was a problem in the relationship. Instantly. As Adam said, it was the woman that you gave me, you know, and everything was downhill from that moment, you know. And then you've got, look at the first act. You think about the first two siblings. I mean, there's only at this point, what, you know, a few people on the whole planet, and you kill your brother You know, kind of like he was at least helping me plant something. I could keep him around for that, you know. So this thing goes right back to the very first family. As soon as there was sin, there was jealousy. There was this emotional weakness. And we can't solve all these problems. But it's an awareness. I think the best thing from a lesson like this is to look at ourselves and say, what do I learn about me? Where am I emotionally weak? Because ultimately, that's the only person that I can change. Remember the little lesson I did on the 3-foot rule? You know, I only got control of 3 feet around me, and that's about it. And if I can learn to deal with my mouth and my attitude and my mindset, then I'm going to be better off. Okay. God is good, right? And we're all emotionally mature?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. There you go. That's the best answer right there.
Her role was that she would trying to share Christ with me, and you know, I had become a Christian, and then we eventually left and went to college and had to do some adjusting, and our interactions at that time were really difficult, really hurtful, so I didn't call her for about 10-15 years. She called me back and I was like, oh, you know, I don't know. Well, I wouldn't want to share my heart with her for fear that she'll be judging, because there's a lot of judgment that goes along.
I've been friends with my friend Sarah since we were in middle school. You know, we did everything together. You know, I mean, we still are, we're just alike. But our lives just, you know, have kind of gone different ways. And it's like, you know, it doesn't matter what I do with her. It's like everything that I do, she puts down.
Yeah, some of the things we talked about today. You feel like you're walking on eggshells, you know, you're watching the caller ID, you see them coming and you want to kind of duck into a room, at least emotionally you do, because you understand that it could be very draining. And at that moment, God love them and God love you, you're not really ready for that encounter. We want to love people we love, but when they're emotionally weak, it makes it pretty difficult. Hey, listen, I want to remind you, we're going to continue this series through the next couple of days here at the Intentional Living Center. So join us. If you can't, it's available online. You can always stream it at theintentionallife.com. That's because people stand with us in support. And here at the end of August, I'm asking you to step up and help us in a very practical way to keep us going, to keep us on the air, allow us to have this outreach around the world. And we have a very special gift for your gift, either joining us monthly as a member of the Intentional Living Center, which we really appreciate, or your single gift right now. It's a brand new 16-month calendar. You're going to love it. It's gorgeous, created just for you from the Intentional Living Center. You can share your best gift right now. Just all you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And God bless you. Thank you for your support. More on how to love an emotionally weak person next time from Intentional Living.